Lake Effect continues now on WUWM. I'm Audrey Nowakowski. Most teenagers' worlds revolve around school, friends, and family. But one Milwaukee teen has already dedicated himself to fighting the opioid epidemic. Neil Dogra is a 17-year-old high school junior from Milwaukee and the founder of the Opioid Epidemic Awareness Campaign. He combines his interest in neuroscience, public speaking, and peer advocacy to speak at middle and high schools, meet policy advisors on opioid education, and reform. Dogra also does research at UW-Milwaukee and the Medical College of Wisconsin on the side. To learn more about how Dogra was drawn to service, he joins me now. Neil Dogra, welcome to Lake Effect. Thank you for taking the time to speak with me today.
Thank you for having me.
So you are 17 years old. You just finished up your junior year of high school. And out of all the things that could catch your attention and be the focus of your mind, why the opioid epidemic?
So I've lived here my entire life. And until I was a freshman in high school, I had really never heard of the opioid epidemic or frankly what an opioid even was. So when I heard a radio talk right here on WUWM, and I found out that opioid overdoses are the leading cause of non-natural deaths in Milwaukee, I was really taken aback that I had no idea what was going on. And at that point, my only goal was really, what can I do to help as a student?
What do you think compels you to act in this way, in service?
So essentially, I believe that as a citizen of Milwaukee, this city has given me so many opportunities, from the research opportunities, the incredible people I've worked with in my service journey. Frankly, I just want to give back to my community. And I believe the best way to give back to one's community is to take what you're good at and use it to help others. So for me, I've always loved science. I've always loved specifically neuroscience. So when I found out that neurobiology is at the crux of this epidemic, I thought this was a great opportunity for me to give back to the city.
Before we get to your research, I do want to talk about the Opioid Epidemic Awareness Campaign that you founded. So what's that primary mission and who's your target audience?
So I would say the most key part of my identity is that I am a high school student. I think that is at the crux of my work with the opioid epidemic. When I found out about this epidemic, it is really complex. It's multifaceted. There are so many levels. Frankly, I don't even understand all of what's going on. And so it was kind of overwhelming to think, what can I do to help as just a high schooler? But as I've grown more comfortable with what I'm doing, I've learned that that's actually one of the most rewarding parts of this process, is that I'm a high schooler, because I'm able to target my audience, being other students, more effectively. I think the key part of a successful awareness campaign is trust and honesty. And as a peer, as just another student, I'm able to relate to my audience, other high schoolers, rather effectively.
And what is the current state of the opioid epidemic with people your age in high school?
So opioids are actually fairly prevalent with kids my age. When I found out about this epidemic, I figured it was, I would think that opioids are kind of the last step in an addict's journey. So they would start with something like a gateway drug. That's what I learned in school. They would start with cigarettes or alcohol and slowly work their way up to heroin. What I failed to realize is that heroin is not the only opioid. So yes, there are illegal synthetic opioids like heroin or carfentanil, but there are also legally prescribed opioids that kids my age are getting from their doctors. So at my age, a common procedure would be wisdom tooth removal. And following this procedure, it's very common that a kid is prescribed a painkiller like OxyContin. Or if we have a really nasty cough, it's very common that we get something like codeine. And when used as a doctor prescribes it, these can be safe and effective, no doubt. But these are actually very chemically similar to things like heroin and fentanyl. So it is very easy to make that jump from something legal to something that's very illegal, very potent, and very dangerous.
You mentioned that the primary lesson you were learning in school is that the opioid epidemic stems off of a gateway drug, but that's not the case. And this is the lesson that many kids are learning. So is this also part of the reason why you work within the school systems to present more accurate information about the opioid epidemic?
Absolutely. I think every middle schooler, every elementary schooler really receives some form of drug education these days. At various points in my schooling, I received some sort of education on different drugs. The thing is, as a 10 to 12 year old, learning about heroin doesn't seem awfully compelling because it's just sort of like, when would I ever encounter something so awful? But what we fail to realize is we can encounter something very chemically similar at this age. And it's important that we get that knowledge out there for students.
One thing that many people also don't realize or think of, and in part due to stigma, is that addiction is a brain disease. Where do you think the public lays in understanding this, and how has your work helped to really hone in on this important part of the problem of addiction?
So ultimately, the three takeaways of my opioid epidemic awareness campaign and what students can do to help are learn, teach, and support. So the first step is learning what's going on, and that's really why I give these presentations and try to inform other students. The next step is to advocate what we've learned, but that third and most crucial step is to support the addicts that are going through this awful disease. Often we recognize addiction as a moral failure, but the truth is this is a brain disease. Literally, addicts have a different neurochemistry that makes it incredibly difficult to stop using. So it's not just a matter of willpower. It is a medical disease that requires help from a healthcare professional.
With your hands also involved in research, what have you been working on with UW-Milwaukee and in turn the Medical College of Wisconsin? And how did this opportunity come to you? Many high schoolers probably don't think it's yet an option to do research with these kind of places unless perhaps you're a college student or you have an internship.
Absolutely. So like I said, I first was introduced to the opioid epidemic right here on this radio talk. And it was a talk by two UW-Milwaukee professors named Dr. Tina Freiberger and Dr. Melinda Cavanaugh. And they had been conducting a case study of opioid overdoses, looking at the trends and the commonalities in this really complex and, like I said, multifaceted epidemic. So the first step in my work with the opioid epidemic was actually just to reach out to these professors. And they were very kind and supportive, enough so that they actually let me into their lab or their research project. So what we looked at was overdose cases. And what we were trying to do is piece together a narrative. So we looked at criminal histories, medical histories. I even went through social media to look for contacts. And what I found was that time and time again, opioids were not being used alone. So yes, these addicts were using things like heroin or OxyContin, but they were also being prescribed things like benzodiazepines, Xanax, or other treatments for anxiety, because at the end of the day, mental health is a risk factor for addiction. The thing is, these benzodiazepines, this class of medications for anxiety, actually lowers heart rate and breathing rates, just like opioids do. So when they're used together, the risk of an overdose skyrockets. So having learned that, my goal was, can we get a better way to treat anxiety? And with that in mind, I reached out to a professor at the medical college in the Neuroscience Research Center, and I started working toward that goal. And so what I found is that our body actually produces these molecules called endocannabinoids that naturally combat anxiety. They regulate the intensity and types of chemicals flowing through our brain at any given moment. So with that in mind, I found that a metabolite of household Tylenol, which is something that I think most people would have in their house, actually elevates the level of these molecules. And in doing so, we can regulate the intensity and frequency of different chemicals within our brains to reach a more balanced chemical makeup. Now, I do want to point out that household Tylenol can't do this on its own, so I definitely would not advise, you know, swallowing Tylenol. But this metabolite is in many ways safer than the commonly prescribed pills, so it's definitely something with a lot of potential for future treatments of anxiety.
And what drew you to neuroscience in the first place?
Well, I've always been fascinated with STEM in general. Really where I became involved with neuroscience was in my freshman biology class. I thought it was very fascinating that our brain is so complex and there's just so much going on the biology side, on the chemistry side, that can have such meaningful outcomes on the macroscopic level, that these little molecules that are microscopic can have such vast effects on our bodies, on our mindsets.
You've also not only just in making lessons and curriculum to present to your fellow students and other schools in the city, but also you use filmmaking as a tool to help spread the message. So you have access to so many different outlets. What have you learned about either yourself or the way you can reach people in trying out all of these different ways of spreading the message?
So I, coming into my freshman year, would have never thought that I would do really any of this. I did not consider myself a filmmaker or a neuroscience researcher. And I just want students to know that the best way to learn about yourself is to help others. Had I never picked up this passion for opioids, I would have never learned that I enjoy filmmaking. I would have never considered that I could be a filmmaker. But in helping my community, I'm also learning a lot about myself, my passions, and my potential.
And who have been any mentors or people helping along the way? You mentioned the two UW professors, but it's definitely a unique thing to have someone still in high school just carry this mission so clearly.
Yeah, so many. I really could not have done this without the amazing adults and healthcare professionals in our city. So those two UW-Milwaukee professors, I mean, they took a pretty big step to let a high schooler come and join their case study. Frankly, I was pretty inexperienced, but they were able to show me the ropes and support me until I could be of use. Additionally, my mentor at the medical college, her name is Dr. Cece Hillard. She again let me into her lab and taught me and mentored me to a point where I could follow my passion. But there are also so many countless individuals that have helped me along the way. I've talked to recovering addicts who now serve as counselors. For example, in West Allis, the first 24/7 treatment center in Milwaukee just opened up. It's called Community Medical Services. So there's a doctor there named Dr. Timothy Allen who's helped me with my documentary and really just taught me about this really complex brain disease.
You're 17 and so involved in opioid addiction and the crisis when many adults and your peers would expect it to be more than sufficient and acceptable just to concentrate on your schooling and, the goal of college, like many high school students have. So, how have you been able to balance all of this?
Yeah, most definitely it can be difficult. It can be stressful, but it's also definitely worth it. I will point out that the two are not completely independent. So the things I'm learning with the opioid epidemic in turn help me understand what I'm learning in AP chemistry, for example. So because this is an epidemic that's so prevalent and so multifaceted, there are so many topics that I've studied within the epidemic that actually help me with what I'm learning in my AP classes or help me with the cognitive abilities that are required for an SAT. So I will say that it's definitely stressful at times, but it's also absolutely doable for really any high school student if you're committed and you're passionate enough.
Would that be your message to other people within your age group? Is that you have the potential to do much more right now and you don't have to wait for college or anything like that?
100%. It doesn't have to be the opioid epidemic. I would really just encourage every high school student or even middle school student or younger to pick up a passion and follow it to its full potential.
Now, you've already got a foot in the door concerning research and working with college professors in the Medical College of Wisconsin. So you have one more year of high school to go, but what is your long game plan? Is neuroscience something you want to focus on for college?
100%. So ultimately, I'm looking to go into a career in medicine, specifically, hopefully, with neuroscience. I'm in contact with professors at universities that I'm going to apply to, no matter where I go, and I don't really know where that is as of now, but I definitely want to continue with neuroscience research throughout my undergraduate years and really into my career at large.
With Milwaukee springboarding your introduction to this crisis, when it comes to learning more, and obviously this is a nationwide, worldwide issue here, how do you see your research changing course or work outside of Milwaukee influencing some of the work that needs to be done in the city yet? Because policies could make a big difference, not just here in the county, but nationwide.
Right. So it is affecting Milwaukee, most definitely. We are hit very difficultly with this epidemic, but it is a nationwide and frankly international crisis. So it's important that we connect with researchers, not just in Milwaukee, but all over the world, as well as legislators. So there is some very successful research going down at Northwestern right now. I'm in contact with a professor there. So he's actually designing an implantable device that can detect an opioid overdose and then immediately alert first responders and deliver a dose of naloxone, which is an opioid reversing drug. So things like that can most definitely make an impact with this epidemic. It is a social issue. It definitely requires work on the political level, but also on the biological, biomedical engineering level. There's a lot to do, and there is a lot of great people that can get the job done.
Well, and I know you'll be one of the great people involved, and I'm sure we'll have you back on to discuss some research that is published in the future, at the very least. So, Neil, thank you so much for your time and for your work.
Thank you so much.
Neil Dogra is a high school student from Milwaukee, founder of the Opioid Epidemic Awareness Campaign, and published STEM researcher. Dogra will be giving a TEDx talk on his work and service August 15th in Fond du Lac. The event will also be available virtually.